You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, Asbury community, this is very meaningful for me to be standing here today because I'm thinking about two people in particular who were sitting where you were sitting 60 years ago. And it is thanks to them that I am here today and that I am alive, that I know the Lord. They answered the call to missions. Some things don't change, many things do change. They were here, sitting here 60 years ago at Asbury, and they were the missionaries who led me to the Lord. Joan and Don Yuan, they graduated, got their majors in education and history. They were the ones thanks to whom I am alive speaking to you here today. And they made the right kind of decision. They chose missions, they chose the Lord, living for Him when they were your age. When I was your age, I made a really bad decision. I am thinking about the best kind of life, right? This is what we're talking about this whole year. And in my case, the best kind of life meant that, probably we just have to keep adding things, right? Like I was a university student as well. I've got to have a major, well, maybe two majors, my boyfriend, get married, meet all the standards and criteria. So the best kind of life probably means like a lot. And I had it wrong. It's not about seeking all that. And something that inspires my talk today is the book by Dallas Willard. And I think it actually talks about the best kind of life. It is, he talks about life without lack. It is inspired with, it is like an in-depth study of Psalm 23, actually. It's a great way to look at it. And I feel that this is what actually I was seeking. Maybe many of you, this is what you are seeking as well. You are seeking life without lack, something that I don't have to always chase. If only I had this, if only I graduated, if only I had my dream job, if only I got married, if only I had a kid, if only I had two kids, if only I owned a house. And it seems like that's when I will be happy. But it's so different than that. So in my quest for if only, I was going to church on Sundays. As you heard, I grew up in Poland, Catholic, and had a pretty good life. I was a good student. Had a boyfriend at that time, and I was like, yes, things are really going well for me, but Jesus, I did not have a personal relationship with Him. I did not have that meaningful sense of belonging for Him and living for Him, and that's what I was looking for without realizing that. So the person who was really important to me, of course, was my future husband, my boyfriend, and this was a big mistake. This was related to the bad decision in my life. When I was preparing for chapel, so fast forward those days, God just kept on showing something to me, and my husband is like, you need to talk about drugs. I was like, substance abuse? Well, that was very impactful for my life, even though I never tried drugs, I never tasted drugs, but my life was highly impacted by it because of my boyfriend and him dealing with drugs. It cost me a lot, and it was at a very, very low point when I met that missionary, that Asbarian, who prayed with me and shared with me about Jesus. And I've learned over the years that many people try to fill that lack in their lives with things like drugs. The Bible doesn't talk to us maybe directly about drugs, but it is important to consider it from that perspective of maybe this is something that people are just trying. They've tried so many different things in their lives, and this is what they're putting here in the mix. So how do we actually get over a situation like that? It was a disaster for me. My life completely changed, and of course God redeemed it. God redeemed my course of action, and we don't have time for like the whole entire long story, but the blessing was that I met the missionary community, and I met people who lived for the Lord, And maybe that's your experience as well. You came to the Lord in a very low point in your life, and you realized, oh, you know, as you were dealing with the aftermath of trauma in your life, the snakes that were given to you, as we had heard in chapel last week, the things that were done wrong to you, God said, why don't you just live for me, serve me, and experience what it's like? And I started realizing that this is life without lack. This is life for God. It's not about me collecting things. It's about living for Him. It's about honing some holy habits. It was a blessing to get to know the Christian Missionary Alliance community as they were reaching out to people, as they were planting churches, as they were ministering to men and women in different stages of life. And during that time, I was able to meet many women who have been trafficked, women from all over the world. They were victims of human trafficking. There was a woman from the United States. There were women from Thailand who were sold by their parents to slavery. Somehow the common denominator also were drugs. They were impacted by drugs. Till very recently, just this summer when I was interviewing some human trafficking survivors, all of them were forced to take drugs by the trafficker. All of them were also paying the consequences of getting over drugs. So this was very clear to me that this is very present in our society, and it's not like we're immune. Part of our family coming joyfully to Asbury, knowing that this was the place where my adoptive spiritual parents answered their call to the Lord, we thought, yeah, this is definitely safer. It's a great place to raise our kids. But very quickly, I realized, okay, there's drugs in this area. There is places that help you if this is your issue. Not too long ago, my husband watched someone's car just turned over and searched very carefully because of drugs, probably before an Asbury game. So this is something real. This is something real in our world. This is the type of stones and snakes that probably our generation has given to you, and something that you need to respond to in an active way by saying no at some point. And it could be that maybe some of you are like me. Drugs impacted your life. Maybe it wasn't you yourself. Maybe it was someone in your family. And it changed the course of action for you dramatically. And things would never be the same. You did not receive what you were supposed to receive because of drugs, because of people taking drugs. So maybe that was the case. In any case, what I want to encourage you is to live a life that's abundant in rest, provision, and blessing. A life without lack. And I've realized that God led service to Him leads us in this kind of life. I felt called to get to know human trafficking survivors, to understand them as a psychologist, of course, help them deal with the aftermath, with the trauma, complex trauma that they suffered. And substance abuse is a big piece in recovery when it comes to human trafficking. So things are not often the way that we kind of expect them. Not everyone fits the profile of an ideal victim, especially if they are still dealing with substance abuse in the process. So God has laid that message on my heart. And of course, it is connected, I think, to like a profound content with what we have as Christians. I feel that oftentimes we do not live that profound content, as in Hebrews 13:5-6, be content with what you have, truly, truly content, joyful, savor it, enjoy it, be grateful for it. I feel like, praise the Lord, this is what we're getting to experience as a family here at Asbury. We were grafted into this family. As you know, it wasn't our case. I did not graduate from Asbury, but it's so dear to me. And as newcomers from another continent, my husband from Italy, myself from Poland, this is where we are still finding our home, our sense of belonging. We're, in many senses, as the beloved class, we just got here last academic year, and we identify with you guys. We live very close to campus, and we are blessed to see you. So I wanted to share maybe those bits and pieces of my story. Hopefully we can have some more interaction, at least with some of you, and share some more. But that was the message that God gave me. And I wanted to end by praying for you, the prayer by Paul from Colossians 1:9 through 12. I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Asa. Just one more time, I would like to say that I am proud, along with Larry and Christy Boss, to be the advisors for the renewed class of 2028. You stepped out of your comfort zone when you made the transition to move here and be a part of the Asbury community. New town, new bed, new food, new friends, new culture, new classes. Well done. To the sophomores, juniors, and seniors, thank you for welcoming our class so well. Thank you for setting such a great example of community. Today, I thought I would share with you my Olympic story, since a good number of you are now basking in the glow of your Paris experience. My first Olympics were in 1996 Games in Atlanta. It was an exciting time. I was awestruck by some of the same things you were. I came back to Asbury that fall, just like you're doing right now. I couldn't believe what I had just done. I wanted to do it again. I started out in media, as most of us do, as a freelancer. I did stints as a CNN logger in Atlanta. I worked here in Kentucky as a cameraman for Kentucky Educational Television. I also got my first jobs in film, working in accounting and locations, just trying to build my resume. In late 1999, I got my big opportunity. I got an interview with International Sports Broadcasting, the main television producer for the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympic Games. This was my shot. I didn't have the job yet, but I was going for it. I took a chance, and I went ahead and moved to Salt Lake City at the beginning of the year 2000 and bummed a couch off of Jim and Lynn Owens for a place to stay. Thanks, Jim. Very shortly, my gamble paid off. I was hired as a production assistant. If you're working in a career in media, this is the break you're looking for. I'd put the pressure on myself and I thought I had succeeded. Let me back up for a moment, give you a brief summary of the early part of my life. I grew up as a pastor's kid. Church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening. I was saved at an early age, recommitted my life to Christ at Mahaffey Family Camp. There we go, Western Pennsylvania. My life revolved around whatever church my dad was the pastor of. I was kind of a nervous kid, a lot of energy, annoying. Some of you know that hasn't changed. My nickname as a teenager was Fidget. What people didn't know, what I didn't even know, was that the energy came from a very unsettled core. Every decision I made, every interaction I had, was huge to me. This internal unsettledness, going into college and into my early career, everything was framed within questions like, was I doing well? Did I screw up? Am I gonna be fired? Am I gonna fail? Do they like me? Now, keep in mind, I didn't know how to articulate these questions. I'm a guy. Introspection is not one of our strong suits. I did know this. I was a Christian, and Christians don't have emotional issues. We definitely don't talk about them. So I just pushed through those unknown feelings with extreme highs and lows. That's just what you did. Back to my Olympic story. I'm now working side by side with the top television professionals in the world, literally standing on the mountain ski slopes, taking notes for the people who were deciding what would be seen on television around the world. For a kid who grew up loving sports and watching ABC's Wide World of Sports every Saturday afternoon, with the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat playing in my head, this was it. I realize that last statement doesn't mean a whole lot to most of you, so I'll just say to Google thrill of victory and agony of defeat, you'll hear the soundtrack of my childhood. Along with this adventure came the pressure of not wanting to screw up, the best chance of success I would ever have. Now, those highs and lows I experienced in college and early work became exponential at my job. Every task, every interaction of success was in the balance. I couldn't articulate it, but I could feel the pressure. Many people have coping mechanisms for these types of issues. Most are not healthy. For me, I have a fight or flight reaction. I was determined to fight, but flight won out. Flight looks different for those of us who use it. For me, I shut down, didn't know what to do or what I was experiencing. I locked myself in my apartment and stopped going to work, stopped answering my phone from everyone. External opportunities of career gave way to an internal war. If you never admit or acknowledge internal emotions, you know that when they win out, you don't recognize the battle. You don't recognize the battlefield, you're disoriented, and you definitely don't know how to ask for help. Incidentally, you all know what happens when you don't show up to work for a week and don't communicate with your employer. I was quietly let go. This is my Olympic success story. I mean that with all of my being. As some of you may have guessed, yours truly was dealing with severe depression and anxiety. I still didn't know that at this point. What I now was thinking about had nothing to do with career at all. In terms that are now dated, you could say what I was experiencing was a nervous breakdown. You use those words, you know, I didn't even know what they meant. If you've been through a time such as this, there are common feelings that we all feel. Embarrassment, failure, exhaustion, what happened, where do I go, it's over, what do I tell people, who am I, why am I this way, shame. I will tell you that the next 6 to 8 months of my life is still a blur to me. I began to know how big my Asbury family is just because I started to couch surf a lot at many of my friends' homes. I didn't have a home. I didn't care. I didn't know what was going on. I don't want this to sound trite or cliched, but God was with me and God was intervening. He was preparing me to build the foundations of me. Yes, I was a Christian, but there were parts of me that had simply never developed. In a slow way, these 6 to 8 months began to shape the who am I question in me, although I still couldn't articulate it. The last place I had really called home was a place called Penn Hills, just outside of Pittsburgh. For some reason or other, I decided that this was the place where all of my confusion and uncertainty that hurt so bad on the inside started. So this was the place I was going to bring some certainty to my life. Whatever that may look like, I was willing to consider it. I drove to Pittsburgh, stayed with one of my best friends from Asbury. I remember getting ready for bed one evening and my friend came to me and said, "Hey, I've got this pastor friend who I think might like to talk to you." I had no good plans and figured anything was worth it. The only stipulation was that I had to agree to meet with him 3 times over 5 days. This was my first time I took counseling seriously. I had tried counseling once before. 2 weeks before I went to the Olympics in Atlanta, I had gone to my counselor and asked him if we could get my issues fixed in the next 2 weeks before I left. He just smiled at me. Those 3 counseling sessions in that week in Pittsburgh were a beginning for me. They cleared the fog just a little for me to see that there were people I could ask for help, that if I was willing to let them, they would discover that I would discover who I was. I headed back to Kentucky, here to Wilmore, got a job, got a place to live, went back to my counselor who had smiled at me 4 years earlier, I want you to know that I've been going to that counselor for the last 24 years to work on that question of who am I. At first it was every week, then it was every 2 weeks, then it was once a month. Now I see him a few times a year. He introduced me to medications that helped me manage and navigate my anxiety and depression. I found out that I have a chemical imbalance in my brain. I want you to know that I take medication every day, and I will for the rest of my life based upon the advice of my medical doctors. The process is messy. 24 years is a long time, lived at a minute, an hour, and a day at a time. There's a bleak look at the beginning when you really are depending on others' hope. If I believed them when they said it would be okay, maybe I could enjoy 5 minutes of the sun on my face. Maybe I could enjoy the taste of a good meal. Maybe, just maybe, I could live and enjoy the moment. There were still many ups and downs to be had, but I also learned that if I just did the little things, like say please and thank you and hold a door open for someone, I could see that I had something to give. Even in this process, I could play a part in community. If you want to, in another setting with more time, I can tell you how my counselor worked with me on my issues to reform my heart and my mind. I can tell you that this whole process is a God thing. I'm here today because I want you to hear from someone who's gone before you that mental health issues are real. Anxiety and depression are real. But our God is real, and when he talks about healing us, there's no shame in saying, I go to counseling or I take medication. These are the tools that God means for you to have access to. These are the tools that can facilitate your faith and community. If anything, I would like you to be able at this stage today and see someone who is healing, who through the help of others who were directed by God was able to gain agency and see achievement in his life, in my life. Honestly, God has blessed me with almost 20 years of working with students like all of you. I can't begin to tell you the blessing of working with you and the alumni who came before you, seeing God form your lives. If my story sounds familiar to you, I want you to know that there is legitimacy in what you face. Most importantly, that there is a path through. Please know that there are people like me who are cheering you on. None of us like to go through these trials. I wouldn't want to go through this experience again. I also wouldn't want to trade the person that I have become. I know who I am. I am a child of God who loves me, and I love others because of that. Thank you.